Tanga zo de chancho landren ma wa tu zanga zo rozu rozu chimbares ro lul kale kale chine dozun rugares marba.
So we've been very slowly going over this text, The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, by the great master Atisha.
Oje da de ne nga zo da nga zo de ne nga zo kanga lo de ne me ilo de zawa chibu tu ni yuares me ilo de shira ga nyoba chibu re zawa chibu re me ga sen de shira ga tombo re chambu re ane me ga sen de ge ane chue ga ne su du ruwa yina nyoba chibu yuares.
So at this moment, we have the human basis, which has many abilities and many powers. We possess the human mind that is very intelligent and very clever and can do so many things. So it's because of this basis and the mind that we possess, we're able to ascertain the nature of religion or the nature of Dharma if we choose to do so.
Susu dewan dewan naji, seje kangkang dewan dewu maris. Susu dungen mandu dewan naji, ane seje yongzu ge dungen dewu maris.
And like ourselves, all sentient beings wish to have happiness because we ourselves desire to have happiness. We can assume, or it's safe to say, that others desire the same thing. Likewise, all sentient beings wish to be free from suffering. So we need to think along these lines.
Oje da de ne mngi sanlu da ga su re da nga zo jiwa xie ma leng yong le jin an de ne de ge mu du ne ne ge ne song ge de ne ka ne ha da me yi de zong tu na nya bi sanlu ge ri ji yong go re s wo de zong ga zo me ta ji jie tu ge re s jie bu chung o chung de tu mo yi ma zhe ma zhe de re s.
So if we look at the rebirth in future lives, there is a potential to have rebirth into the lower realms. And when we recognize that we dislike this or desire to be free from lower birth in the lower realms, such as the hell birth, hungry ghost, or animal realm, if we achieve the realization that wishes to definitely be free from those lower realms, then we have achieved the first lineage of realization or the teachings that are shared in common with the small capacity or small scope.
Or that day, all the little had a military against Haji Toka or Sumer is not John Dudan, and the land is one of them. Debal Shadanja or two Sumers.
So, what is the method to be able to eradicate the lower realms and to achieve rebirth into the higher realms of human beings, gods, and demigods, and so forth? What is the method? The method is to have a firm basis of refuge, as well an understanding, as well as an understanding of the law of cause and effect, or karma and its results, and the way to modify our behavior, as well as purify negativities through confession.
Ani chi dunga, gai dunga, chi dunga, chaban duji dunga tu su yue zang, ani tu su yang pu di tenpu yu ma re, dada li ngay ban yu ngay yu ku sangba. Di yi tu ne, ani dunga tenpa ta kunju tenpa ni pong ya, gu ten tang lang ten, nyang su lang ya, da yu gu ne, ani kar su gu re, rani tabal triya ge, tabal triya ge ta ju de, ani jibun ting an, rin da tumu yu lang chi chi ba di ma re.
So the second lineage, the second lineage called the medium scope, or teachings that are shared in common with beings of a medium capacity, recognizes the suffering of the lower realms and wishes to abandon those, but also recognizes that being born as a god or as a human or as a demigod is also unstable. And then they recognize, that type of practitioner recognizes that beings in the higher realm still have to experience the three types of suffering, the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering, and the pervasive compounded suffering. And then that type of being wishes to renounce or definitely get out of cyclic existence altogether after recognizing the pervasive suffering throughout all six realms, and then wishes to achieve liberation for his or herself alone. So this type of motivation, wishing to achieve liberation for oneself alone, is called the medium scope, or teachings that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity.
Oye, that caso con yo mo bata. And le do nge bu ne tabal tia thau ju de what the is.
I forgot one thing. So then this practitioner wishes to abandon the first of the two noble truths, which is the truth of suffering and the truth of origin. So a medium scope practitioner desires to abandon those two truths and then take on or practice the second of the two noble truths, which is the truth of path and the truth of cessation. So the practitioner engages in the truth of path to lead up to the cessation. So then this type of practitioner must eradicate the karma and afflictions that lead to cyclical rebirth, and then has to practice a method which will lead him or her to liberation. Okay, I got it all.
Oje da jibun din de ge ga ju gar nga ro jib tha ba thu na nya ba song lo ma du jin sin jin tha ji song lo yo ma des da jib chim bu de ge ane nga ro du nge ma lo ba yi su sa ane sin jin tha ji ge du nge do yo ma de sin jin tha ji du nge ma ba ju na nya be yin ji da sin jin tha ji ane sin jin tha ji jib ju na nya be xiang ba xiang ba gong bi tu ne sin ji gong a ji su lo gar des
So then this type of liberation is a liberation that is for oneself alone. There is no object of observation or no thought of others in this particular scope or in this particular capacity. But when we move to the great scope or the teachings for beings of great capacity, we'll see that these beings recognize that like themselves, all other sentient beings have to experience suffering. Then those sentient beings become the object of observation for that practitioner's love and compassion, which eventually will produce mind generation, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So that type of practitioner uses sentient beings' suffering and so forth, and the desire to relieve that suffering as his or her object of observation, and then utilizes the thoughts of love and compassion to lead up to mind generation, which is a synonymous, translator's note, with bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment.
That then that shangchu ge sen se ge dil jida ge phen che bu ri sen ja che bu ri s pa na nga zo tin sa an zam le ge me an ne hen da chen du se ge an ji ye tha da da de ge tu ne abar ga me chu du su lu ru bu ji ya ji ge du was an me ga ga ji zo ye na she da ga bu du was sen wo da de ge ru bu ji ya da nga su she da ge nga chu te ba ye na ji zo ye na ji ya ge she da ge ya bu du was
So we can see that this mind that aspires to enlightenment is a very great mind. It is a very vast mind. And recently, the singer, the Shit. Okay, many singers have gotten together yesterday to do a concert to relieve starvation in Africa. And if we can, we should really rejoice in the efforts that these performers have made in order to relieve the suffering of others.
Ani jaga ta Singapore kasa tene Indonesia tu sul le ji chue jun ji gen sul ma zu ro bu ji gen was o de zu ma zu ne zu de ma zu tong de ma zu sen ji bu was
So also there have been the people who have joined together to help the tsunami victims in India and Indonesia and all of the places that were affected by this. And if we think about the good that has been created, then maybe we can make our minds more pleasant when we think of the good that has been done.
What does the sense of it is?
And this is a very positive mind, and it's very good to think of these things.
Tiba chenpe san lo dele ja che ba res. Sinjen thaje ge dongen ge ne chu ti che ba je. Sinjen thaje ge dongen me ba shu na. Sinjen thaje ge dongen me ba zo ya gu ba di che do ne ge sa ji ne. Ane ge sa ji shu na. ane sejen thaje dual gu ya da dungen me ba zoya ge ne ju di ung res de yin su zo dam ge sa ji gu du nya be sa lu de le te ba che bi sen ji su res
So when we speak of great vehicle mind generation, great vehicle mind generation is a mind that is very vast. This is a mind that desires or wishes to free all sentient beings from their all types of suffering and lead all sentient beings to a state of happiness. And the way that this practitioner goes about doing this is wishes to become a Buddha very quickly so that he or she can then understand how to truly bring these sentient beings to a state of happiness and how to truly bring these sentient beings to a state that is free from suffering. So this is the reason that the great vehicle practitioner wishes to become a Buddha.
wā tē shāngchū sēmbē sānglū tēlē sīngjēn tāngjē lē sānglū tēndē yō sōng sāng ān tēpā chēmbō sī lōg wā rē sī sēng jā chēbō rē sī sēng jā chēbō yē sāng ān nē tēpā chēmbō sēng tēng dē mā tō mē sāng jēbōn tēng sēng tēlē chōng wā yē sāng jēbō chōng wā sī wā sēng gā nē sū tē yōng tēng sā rē sī.
So it's because this mind is focused on all sentient beings, and because all sentient beings are vast, that this mind or this bodhicitta falls into the category of the great vehicle tradition. Great meaning vast because of the focus of the mind itself. And then the reason that the other scopes are called medium and small is because the mind itself has a smaller amount of scope, or a smaller scope as you move down the levels of the scopes. So the medium scope has a smaller scope, or is not quite as vast as the great scope, but the small scope is even less vast than the medium scope. So this refers to the motivation or the mental state of the practitioner in each of the scopes. So here, when we've arrived at the part of the text in the lamp for the path to enlightenment, the part of the lamp for the path to enlightenment, where it talks about two things. One, how to generate the mind of bodhicitta, how this mind is actually generated, and then what one engages in or what one does once the mind has been generated, such as practicing the six perfections and so forth, because it's necessary to have both accumulations to achieve the final goal, the accumulation of wisdom and the accumulation of merit, or collection of wisdom and collection of merit. So it's necessary for this practitioner to accumulate these two things in order to become Buddhas. So the next part of the text deals with gaining bodhicitta, and once one has it, what he or she does. So if one hasn't produced the causal factors for this mind generation, or for the mind that aspires to enlightenment, then it would be very difficult to achieve the states of Buddhahood or enlightenment. But once this mind generation has taken place, then it becomes very easy to accumulate the collections of wisdom and merit. So we can see that the great conqueror, the destroyer, Shakyamuni Buddha, accumulated these two collections for three countless eons. So we can see that he took quite a long time to gain these collections. Likewise, we have to try to slowly engage in this path and gain these collections ourselves. And if we do practice, we can achieve the same result that Shakyamuni Buddha did. So when we look at the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta, we can see that there are two categories of bodhicitta, or mind generation, or mind that aspires to enlightenment. Those two categories being aspiring mind bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. Aspiring bodhicitta is the type of bodhicitta that is produced initially. It's more of a wishing, or more of an aspiration at that point, but it is still nominally designated or named bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment. Once that has been produced, and then the practitioner takes a bodhisattva vow, and that bodhisattva vow, as stated before, is coupled with the mind that aspires to enlightenment, then that bodhicitta becomes engaged bodhicitta. So the bodhicitta, which has a lack of a bodhisattva vow, is called aspiring bodhicitta or wishing bodhicitta. And the bodhicitta, which has the bodhisattva vow, is called engaged bodhicitta. So this is the difference between the two types of bodhicitta, or mind that aspires to enlightenment. So initially in the text, the lamp for the path to enlightenment, Atisha deals with the aspirational bodhicitta, or the aspirational mind that aspires to enlightenment. And there are three sections which follow that. First, the necessity of accumulation. And the reason for this is if one wishes to plant rice, it's necessary to have a fertile field that has been watered and that has grass, and I mean that has the dirt and so forth that will actually produce a sprout. If one plants a rice seed in an infertile field or a field that doesn't have water and so forth, then that seed will not produce a sprout. But if all of those factors are present, the water and the dirt and the fertilizer and so forth, then once one plants a seed, then that seed will come to a sprout. Likewise, if one hasn't accumulated certain amounts of merit, or the accumulations is what the literal translation, if one hasn't accumulated, then the ground is not fertile enough for the bodhicitta to be produced. So here there is a focus on the seven limb prayer and engaging in the practices of offering and prostration and confession and so forth in order to accumulate, which will then help to produce a fertile field for the mind that aspires to enlightenment to be generated and to be strengthened.
Tene sanje ge zambu shobi mhelan ka zon yuwaris, shuenjo lu zon yuwaris. Ane nga ge chuka judi ji, chuka tuzi nalu le, ane ngu le sanwen lai mesa peche yuwaris. Sanwen lai di peche nga chiburis, ge chiburis. Te yin son zang ane nga su amaraga ki nambi yi chuzu tanje ge ten chabu nalu le, sanwen lai mesa mduwas. Wadi jibu tamba tsuki, ku nga chibu yin zang wadi chuzu su nyoyal di tri yuwaris.
In the initial stages, the seven limb prayer is very important. There isn't a part of Buddhism that we can't find the seven limb prayer in. For instance, in the sutras, in the great vehicle and lesser vehicle, in the tantric teachings, we will find the seven limb prayer is in all of these. And when we go to different centers and so forth, and we look at different places where they practice Buddhism, we won't be able to find somewhere that doesn't use this seven limb prayer as well. So it's because of this, it's said that the seven limb prayer is very powerful and very important. So if we look at the four lineages of Tibetan Buddhism, the Gelupa, the Sakya, the Kagyu, and the Nyingma, we'll find that all of these traditions utilize the seven limb prayer. And if we go to a Chinese temple, we can't really read Chinese, so it's tough to say whether it's there, but we should assume that it probably is, even though we can't read Chinese. So when they hit the wooden stick on the, I'm not really familiar, they hit the, I don't know what it's called, but it's called something. It's an instrument they hit in the Chinese temples. Those, maybe they're chanting the Heart Sutra or another prayer. I don't know what they're doing, what they're chanting. Do you? So this is very good, I think. So in the initial stages, to produce this aspiration or aspirational mind that aspires to enlightenment, the door to it is the practice of the seven limb prayer. And when we look at or we think about what our object of observation will be for the seven limb prayer, we can use such things as the entire merit field, or we can use the Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, or we can use other objects of observation such as Manjushri, or Tara, or Medicine Buddha, or any of the other deities. We can make this seven limb prayer too. So we look to make it to holy objects. So if we can, in our own individual houses, if we have these objects or not, we can clean the place very well, and then we can sit down and then do a seven limb prayer. So when we're making the first part of the seven limb, we're making an offering of the first part of the seven limb prayer, which is homage or prostration. It's very good if we can combine this actual act with the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or to think about the mind that aspires to enlightenment while we're doing these. And then when we make prostrations, there are three types of prostration. There is physical prostration, verbal prostration, and mental prostration. And then within the physical prostration, that can be divided into tantric prostration and vinayak prostration, or prostration of the vinaya. So we're beginning with the physical prostration. It's when we physically put our hands together and then put them at various places on our body and then bow, touching the floor and getting up. So this is what is meant by the physical prostration. So the Vinayak prostration begins with putting the hands together with the thumbs inside and then touching the three places on the body, the crown, the throat, and the heart, and then going to the floor and touching the five parts of the body, the forehead, the two hands, and the knees, and then getting up very quickly. So this is what's called the Vinayak physical homage or physical prostration. So there is an auspicious reason for getting up very quickly from a prostration. And this reason is that in future lives we'll be able to very quickly get out of the lower realm. So this is the auspicious reason that we get up very quickly after we have touched the parts of our body to the floor. And then the tantric prostration involves the same hand gestures of putting the thumb in the hand and touching the crown, the throat, and the heart. But then one places the entire body and stretches the entire body lengthwise out on the ground, retracts the arms, and then gets up very quickly. So this is the tantric prostration. But if one has appropriate faith in the Buddha and just bows down with their body, then this could also be called physical prostration or physical homage. So when we're making a verbal prostration, this is just saying out loud, I prostrate to the Buddha, the great conqueror, the destroyer. It's actually saying out loud that one is paying homage or making a verbal prostration. So it's a verbal gesture of homage. So mental prostration is when one has faith and pays homage through thought mentally to these objects. So it has been stated that when one makes a physical prostration, the amount of atoms that are covered on the ground beneath the body are the same number of times that one will be able to be born as a chakra king or a leader of the worlds. So if in the future we want to be born as kings, then it would make sense for us to make as many prostrations as possible so we can achieve that result.
And
it's very beneficial. So the next of the seven limb prayer is the limb of offering. And we can make offerings of flowers, or of water, or of anything that we would wish to or desire to offer. It's appropriate. So if we can make an offering of food and drinks, we have to have food and so forth at breakfast time. We have to have it at lunch time. We have to have it at dinner time. So it'd be very good if we can make offerings at all of these meals whenever we eat or drink. So it has been stated that because of the excellent qualities that the three jewels possess, they are the most appropriate and powerful objects of observation or objects for us to make offerings to. Because of their excellent qualities, because of their vast qualities. So it's very good for us to make offerings to the three jewels of the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, and the Sangha jewel. But it's also appropriate for us to imagine that in the space in front of us, that the space is filled with flowers and various different kinds of offerings. So these can be imagined offerings also. So this is the limb of offering.
Mm-hmm. 사변도 가서 생각을 내는 거거든요. 저와 도마면 다디바도 사자비 그와단다 대요 말데 그와 그 사변데 대두어스 그와 그 사변을 대와용그레스 티브용그레스 데비 사변을 동해용그레스 데비 사변을 동해용그에다 동해 안에 마주소지기 동해되고 말레스 동해 먼저 바이다 안에 데발 샤나지야 계주그레스.
So the third limb is called the limb of confession, or the limb of acknowledgement. I like that better, limb of acknowledgement. So this particular limb is necessary because since beginningless time, we have engaged in various misdeeds, and we have engaged in various virtuous activities. Both of these have left seeds within our mental continuum. The misdeeds that we have placed within our mental continuum as seeds will produce suffering if they have not been purified. The seeds of virtue will produce happiness. So because we do not wish to have suffering, it's necessary for us to figure out how we can get rid of the seeds of the misdeeds which will produce suffering. So one way in which we can get rid of these seeds which will produce unpleasant results is through acknowledgement or through confession. So that's why it's important for us to do this particular limb, because an unpurified seed of a misdeed will always produce suffering.
Oh, that be any debate. The debate will do any go or is do any jia nuba yore de nuba de meba zoya taishi sanji go sumba is. Niabu taishi thong go nsha na jigi ina debate nuba kanre jichebe ina meba zoya tu go is. Ane chui je dan de na.
So these seeds have the ability or the potential within them, these negative seeds, to produce suffering. But the Buddha has stated that there is a way to purify these seeds so that they do not produce suffering. The Buddha has stated and is quoted as saying that whatever sins have been committed, even the five heinous crimes can be purified through the four opponent powers. So one of the practices of purification is called the four opponent powers. And it's been stated by Buddha that any type of negativity can be purified, even the five heinous crimes, which are killing one's mother, killing one's father, killing an arhat, drawing blood from a Buddha, or dividing the Sangha.
Oje toje tsong go ne shana jirine deba tagre sanje usung bares deba da bi go lo du ge shibi ti go so angule malala so bo mom usung bares deba tagi.
And not only did the Buddha state that all forms of negativity can be purified, we'll also find in the great master Nagarjuna's letter to a friend where it's stated that Angumala engaged in those negativities and was able to purify them and achieve arhatship. And there's many different examples of beings who have purified their misdeeds. We can also find examples in the great Chittis on the stages of the path to enlightenment by Lama Tsongkhapa, and Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand by the great master Pobunka Rinpoche. We can find all of these examples in these texts as well, Tibetan texts as well.
Anji kala pyutabu saya, rikon saya, tali shunya, wo tindagi nyalan tamba yina, ane nyalan ya se yondu, sen li jibin duna deba tangu waris.
The nanka drowa?
Nanka drowa dan.
Okay.
Chuy jawa dan. Ane ji lama dan jiya dan. Wo tindagi nyama shawa la suba. Wo tindagi nyalan zambu dan ne, ni ya se yondu, sen li jibin duna deba tangu waris.
So how does one know if a purification has taken place? What are the signs? So there are various signs that can happen during dreams. If in the last state of dream, one experiences flying in the sky, or eating good food or having good drinks or the sun shining very brightly or mounting an elephant or mounting a horse or being on the top of a mountain or just having a general good feeling when one wakes up or seeing lamas, teachers, monks, nuns, and so forth. These are signs in the dream state that a purification has taken place. So if we take a seed and plant it, then it has the potential to produce a sprout. But if we take that same exact seed and we burn it with fire, then it no longer has the potential to produce a sprout. Likewise, when we apply the four opponent powers to our negativities or to our negative seeds, then these seeds within our mental continuum no longer have the power or potential to produce the result of suffering either. So the fourth limb is called the limb of rejoicing. And we can rejoice in the good of all practitioners of the lesser vehicle, whether here or solitary realizers, rejoicing in all the good of the great vehicle practitioners, rejoicing in all the good that monks and nuns have done, rejoicing in all the good that ordinary beings have engaged in, rejoicing in all the good that superiors have done, rejoicing in our own good. So we can make this limb of rejoicing very powerful. So if we can meditate on joy or finding joy in other religions good, then this is also very good, very beneficial. So we can see that there are Christian and Hindu and Jewish temples around, and they also do very good things, so we can rejoice in their good. So it's because they wish to have happiness that they engage in their religion. So there is a story of a woman who made an offering to Nyentu, a hearer practitioner. She didn't have anything to offer, and she had leprosy. So she had wanted to make a soup to offer to this hearer practitioner, and she had nothing to offer, and she put her fingers into the soup and they fell off. And normally this would produce a rebirth into a hell realm, because you would be giving a holy being these leprosy fingers and they would get sick. But the hearer practitioner went ahead and drank it, and when this woman passed away, she was born into the God's realms and didn't have to experience a hell realm rebirth for because of her motivation. And then, after hearing this, a great king in the land decided to make a very big offering ceremony for Buddha and all of his attendants and all of the monks and nuns and bodhisattvas and so forth. After hearing that this woman was able to just make an offering of her fingers, which had leprosy, to a hearer. He imagined that he would have great results by making great offerings to these holy beings. So he made a great feast, and at the time, during this feast, when it was taking place, there was a poor beggar in the alleyway who was rejoicing in all of this great thing that was going on, all of these offerings that were taking place. And then when the time for the aspiration or the dedication of the meal came, the Buddha dedicated all the merit that was created from the meal to the poor beggar in the alleyway. And then the king asked, why in the world would you say his name and not my name? I am the one who made all of these offerings. I'm the one who paid for all of this food. The beggar in the alleyway did nothing. And then the Buddha said to the king, you came to this whole event with large amounts of pride, so your virtue has actually lessened. And the beggar in the alley had pure motivation and rejoiced in the merit that you created. And this is why I dedicated all the virtue that was created to him and not you. So it's very beneficial to do, to rejoice. So the fifth is requesting. The requesting is requesting the wheel of Dharma to be turned. So this is what it's referring to. It's asking the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to turn the wheel of Dharma, which is synonymous with teach the Dharma. Turn the wheel, teach the Dharma. So we should imagine that when we ask the Buddha to please teach us the Dharma, that the Buddha accepts and asserts that, yes, I will teach you. So we imagine that when we're doing this particular limb of requesting, that there is a response from the Buddha, and the response is, yes, I will teach. And it's because the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have clairvoyance and omniscience that this actually works. By making these requests in future lives, we will be able to become the students of these great beings because they hear our requests because of their clairvoyance or omniscience. So the sixth of the seven limb prayer is the prayer of entreating or begging. And this is begging or entreating the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, teachers and so forth, our root teachers and so forth, to not leave this world and to not pass into nirvana. So this is a request, or actually it's stronger than request. That's why we call it retreating or begging, which is just begging them not to leave us. And then the last limb is the limb of dedication, because any virtue that we engage in must be coupled with a proper dedication if it is to stay with us. So it's even if we engage in a very small amount of virtue, if it's dedicated to all sentient beings becoming enlightened or becoming complete Buddhas, then even the smallest amount of virtue that is dedicated properly will increase in power or increase in potential. So it's important for us to make a proper dedication to make the virtue that we've engaged in, however small it is, more powerful.
And chū tīpa jī jāsū nā sā nā jāsū mā kāng bātā sēgā mā rīs, sāngjī kā sōng bā rīs. Chē tā jāsū chū nā chū sī tā rī, nē jāsū mā kāng bātā tī mē zī, tī jīn sāngchū yāng kū gāwā yāng sāngchū mā tū bātā tī mē zī, sāngjī kā tū sōng bā rīs.
It's been stated by Buddha that a properly dedicated virtue will stay with us until we achieve Buddhahood. It's stated in scripture that any virtue that's been engaged in, that's been properly dedicated, will not leave until one gains the final goal or complete enlightenment. Just like one drop of water in the ocean is not extinguished until the entire ocean is extinguished.
dōngba tīli rīpa jīma tāgu mara sā kumya bachāna.
Banana.
Banana nga dōngba jīsūn tīli banana rīpa jī tāgu rīsī, tān dōngba tū mē parīna gā rīsī. Yāng sāba jīwa rīsī, wā tī rāba yīsā rīsī. Nā kū rīpa jī sā sā jū tān nā kū kāng rūg dō sī. Wā tī mhuā mā jī nā gā wā tī rāba yīsā rīsī. Mhuā jī bā yī nā, anī ebo tūyī rūwa. Ebo tūyī lī kā tū yī nā rīpa tāgu rīsī.
So, properly dedicated virtue is unlike a banana tree. A banana tree produces its bananas and then it perishes. There's no longer can produce any fruit. But the properly dedicated virtue is likened to an apple tree, because an apple tree year after year produces fruit and is not does not die off after one season of production. So this is why properly dedicated virtue is compared to an apple tree and dissimilar from a banana tree.
Oje ta jesu yirang jesu yirang wa ta hwa ni bu te gwa pi yin la res jesu yirang ta hwa ya ba je ba yin na su su gwa tu de ya ma ma du ja go zares jesu
yirang wa ta
hwa ni
okay. So the rejoicing and dedication is called expanding virtue or expanding a limb. And what that means is that it creates more and more and more. So this is why it's called the expanding limb.
Da sha che wa chob bi wa de ne chu gu gu wa nyang le ma da so da ba de su ngo chu sa bi na de chu sa ba mo mo chu mo mo sa bi na.
So the limb of prostration or homage, the limb of offering, the limb of requesting, and the limb of entreating fall into the category of limb of accumulation, for accumulating things, merit.
And then
the limb of confession refers to, obviously, the limb of confession, the limb of acknowledgement.
Samen le do tu son du ne la ri chim go del de do te ni waris de lan dren dan tu su ko du ne sha bi yun la chu sa bi yun la go bi yun la son du waris.
So we can find even in the great treatise on the stages, excuse me, of the path to enlightenment, which is really an explanation of this root text, the lamp for the path to enlightenment, we can find that it states that there are three. The seven limbs can be divided into three: the limb of expansion, the limb of confession, and the limb of accumulation. So it can be divided into three.
Ta landon go tawa del deruji dosan tego la sobas dosan tego si jindo andu dosan tego
zotsan
landon inche to kuzul de bayi na.
So we've arrived at hold on. Drupa, Dumba.
Ah.
Drupa, Dumba.
Dumba, Reba. Dusan Tegu Lasu Bajin Dua.
Dusan
Tegu. Dusan Tegu. Dusan Tegu Lasu Dang. Chue Deng Dang Shu Ngan Shu Ne. Matu Dubu Ngan Buddha.
Okay.
Jinju Ba Yi Chue Ba Sha.
So we've arrived at number seven. Facing paintings, statues, and so forth of the completely enlightened one, reliquaries, and the excellent teaching, offer flowers, incense, and whatever you have. So here we've arrived at the part that is speaking about the seven limb prayer.
Mm. 아니 제가 장사 시탄탄 산지 고도 좀 가 야부샤스 어디 좀 말해 조선 되고 나서 다스 최대 당 중앙조네 다 최대 당 아니 대답이 네 도설 응응조네 아니 모두 모두 미야연한다 네 셀라당 수자다 셀라당 가르부야연 어디 조미워레스 모두 두비 뭐보다 전주바이 쳐바샤스 모두 두비 모두 비도난다 안 가르부도나 소속 연수기 쳐바야 미워레스
맞아요
견주르바이 쳐바샤스 연수지 캔 캔서 그러바
yes
캔 아브링
아코스 So here it says facing paintings, statues, and so forth of the completely enlightened one. And here this refers to statues that are objects which represent the Buddha, such as the statues here on the altar, or tankas, which are religious paintings, paintings of the Buddha. So here, this is what is meant by facing paintings and statues and so forth. It refers to paintings and statues which are images of the Buddha. Reliquaries, here it's stupas. So people might be more familiar with the word stupa. The English translation has used this word that I can't pronounce very well, reliquaries, reliquaries. Relics, okay. So that it's stupa is in the, it's in the Tibetan, it says stupas, and the excellent teaching. And then it says offer flowers, incense, whatever you have. The meaning of this is whatever you have to offer, whatever you can offer, whether it's food or drinks or flowers or incense, make the offerings of these things to the holy objects of enlightenment. So this is the meaning of this particular stanza. And it's very important to make offerings with our mind, to think of offerings and make mental offerings.
Oje da tene kunzon che le zumba yi cheba na ba dun ta changs kunzon che le zumba yi zon du de le zanje melan zanje melan kunzon che le zumba yi cheba na ba dun ta changs kunzon che le zumba zanje melan sanje gun do zanje melan sa jor wa da na ngasun jabe ba yi jen dun da ji wa wa den do du mo bu yo de de yin go de le ne san yen le du yo de zanje ne zumba na ji ge yunla dunpa tu zi yabu jiis, shasewa dagi shui saro wa dhari yunla dunpa tu zi yabu jie waris, wa tu sungu.
So here it says, with the seven-part offering from the Prayer of Noble Conduct. The Prayer of Noble Conduct is a very large text, and at the beginning of that text there is a seven-limb prayer. So this is what Atisha is referring to here, with the never thought, the thought never to turn back till you gain ultimate enlightenment. So here this refers to the seven-limb prayer. In the seven limb prayer, specifically at the beginning of the prayer of noble conduct.
Waji te yola nyuba do de insaris. Joa tres joa. Joa ngi jo sung na ne joa tsabris ta. Mensen. Mensen joa do de yola nyuba tres.
So here this refers to the accumulations necessary for the aspirational mind. Here, we've gone over sections that refer to that first section of the three spoken of before of accumulation. Yep.
That the name that in the Kususani at 11 or Chichon Zaga.
So maybe today, Rinpoche said we'll have a shorter class because maybe people are busy. We have a holiday tomorrow and so forth. So maybe today's class will be a little shorter.
Oh, then that the no Mansen when they call my legs, John Dugin, Mansen Jan, the Galical.
So we're going to slowly get into the section which goes more over aspiration and refuge and various other things as we go slowly through this text.
Well, then they what about that? Then I'm not sure. Can't you do Santan, Susu combat and Santan and Diggers, Donco, Sangola, and Saben Janagris, Diggy, and Cindy's Pumin Doba in Ion. Send Joash Malamandron, do ne Gawagis happened to Joash Malamandrone, Tra Mobula, Susu Gibuya, Hadam May, Desantua, Tabalandrea, Sanjay, Gubachuimuris.
So, if we're able, when we go home, to think about these things and engage in an analysis and familiarize our minds with these topics, then we'll be able to produce more and more seeds within our mental continuum of virtue that will always produce. Happiness, produce rebirth in the human's realm, produce rebirth into the demigods and God's realm. So if we engage in these practices and we engage in positive activities, when we disregard or discard rather these aggregates at the time of death and we move on to our next life, at that point in time we will be able to achieve rebirth into the higher realms. So it moves beyond this life, and this is what we should think about so that we're able to achieve fortunate results in the future. So in this life and in future lives, things will become better. So this is why it is beneficial.
Yeah.
Chua dan len jia, huan ga ri ga.
Huan ji yin tuwa len jia ma ra.
Huan tambo.
Tambo ndi shi yin ma ra. An dun ta jimin yin samin len ka sa, nga su zan jima la nga su pari ra wa. Pari di shen di la nga su ngui ma len ru ji is. Di shen yung kan su la.
So we're going to have a party next week after the teaching in celebration of Rinpoche's and the Dalai Lama's birthday. And it's not necessary to pay any money for the party, for the food or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Rinpoche wants to make it clear that he doesn't want the party, people to pay for the party. Everyone, please come. Center members, people who come to the center, your families, everyone is invited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we're going to do the dedications and so forth. So we end with the concluding mandala offering. The fundamental ground descended with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient living beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate it to virtue. In particular, the essential teachings of Venerable shine forever. Send forth this mala. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. Jambel Bawu Jeda Jen Badang Wondu Zambo Deyan Dejinte Deda Kunji Jezu Dalo Je Gewa Deda Tanche Ratungo Dusum Jebe Nyewa Tanche Nyi Ngawa Ganla Chotu Ngapade Dajen Gewe Tsawa Dekunjang Sambo Jujiratu Ngohwanyi
in the heavenly realm of Tibet, surrounded by a chain of snow mountains, the source of all happiness and help for beings, Tenzin Gyatso, Chen Rezigen person. May his life be secure for hundreds of kalpas.
Ngari ra we ngu we xin yam di men don di wa ma lu jung we ne chen re zi wang ten zin yan zo
I pray for the long life of the precious Kenzer Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend of the wisdom and perseverance.
Lo zun zong bu xun jian nang a lang yu rin ya man zi ling ge wen zhen lo nan du me nian man zi
The light of your wisdom dispels the darkness obscuring the five scriptures. You joyously uphold the sublime teachings of Sutra and Tantra through the three doors. Through constantly applied perseverance, you have perfected learning and reflection. May Venerable Geshe Gompo remain for a long time.
Lord, Dom Jesus, Dom.